This is the Art Cityscape Podcast. Hi everyone, this is the sixth episode of the Art Cityscape. Did you know that 90% of podcasts don't get to their sixth episode? So we're one of the longest running podcasts out there. That was a made up statistic, but it's probably true. Well, this will be a shorter episode as I answer some of the questions that you asked us via Instagram. There were a bunch of questions asked, and I'm happy to say that I'll be answering many of them with some help as well on a couple of the questions. If I don't get to yours, reach out to us again. A guaranteed way that I'll answer your question is if you send an email to podcast@springville.org. Okay, so the most asked question via Instagram was, what is happening with the old Allen's property or Allen's block or block 5 as we're calling it here at the city? For that, I will turn to a response that Josh gave us on the episode a couple weeks ago about block 5. According to him, not much has changed. This is what he said.
We don't have any formal application yet, but I can hold up backwards so you can't see it very well. A pre-application package we went through with the applicants yesterday. So they're moving forward, and we anticipate having an official proposal here shortly. So there is activity. Things are happening.
Question number two comes from Asael. He says, what are they building over by the sidecar cafe? The sign says Cargo Cinema. So Asael's referring to Container Corner over there, the stack of shipping containers that form an interesting structure. And there are several businesses, we're excited to say, that are already in Container Corner and operating. There are places to eat and to get a treat and to get a haircut. You really should go and check it out, Asael, and anybody else who's listening. As far as the Cargo Cinema goes, from what we know, there will be a single screen theater there as well. I'm sure there are places to reach out and learn more about that. Okay, our third question comes from Carson, who asked, what is the true history of the Springville High School mascot? And I'm also going to get a little help on this one from longtime Springville resident and historian Lee Taylor. So take it away, Lee.
James Wingate was a local booster, and he ended up being a justice of the peace for Springville, teacher at the high school. Before the original high school building was built in 1909, he was here prior to that when they were teaching high school classes at the Washington School. But in any case, so he was here forever. He gave an interview in 1936, and they published an article in the Springville Herald, and he talks about the state basketball tournament. He says in 1921, the Springville basketball team, they won the state tournament, and he said that they fought so tenaciously, but at the end of the game that they won over Dixie, they were referred to as the Fighting Red Devils because they wore red uniforms. Now, that article is, we have an actual copy of it at the Springville Herald. And so I'm very much, in belief that that article is correct. So I don't know any other thing to lean on that has a written record. I've gone through the high school yearbooks and histories. 1937, I'll stick with that, was the first year that they showed a caricature on a uniform that looked like a devil. Hmm. And in fact, the mayor's dad was on that team. Rick Child's dad was on that team.
Okay, our next question comes from John, who is actually married to my cousin. He's a great guy, and to be honest, I'm not sure he knows that I do this podcast. He asked, is Jaker's Pumpkin Patch staying or going? What's in the works for development at that lot? For this answer, we reached out to Jake Harward. What he told us is that the lot has sold to a holding company. Jaker's Pumpkin Patch has signed to do the pumpkin patch this fall and is looking to do at least a few more in the future as well on that lot. And Jake assured us that if the pumpkin patch can't be held there, it will be held somewhere else here in Springville. So thanks for that question, John. Okay, the next question comes to us from Atlee, who asked, who came up with the idea of Art City Days? Again, we turned to Lee Taylor for this one, who did some research for me. He indicated that the first official Art City Days happened over 3 days in the summer of 1967. City and community leaders conceived, planned, and carried out Art City Days, and in addition to what the newspaper described as a mammoth parade, it also advertised a three-act play, a carnival and concessions, art shows at the Civic Center and Art Building, relic hall tours, sidewalk bazaars, a flower show, a steak fry, baseball games, square dance demonstrations, a band concert, a junior rodeo, fireworks, breakfast, old car show, kids races, teenage dances, married folks dances, golf contests, mountain cycle races, hound dog races, and other events. Prior to Art City Days, the Kolob Stake of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints started holding Kolob Day in 1961, which changed in subsequent years to Kolob Days. So it's possible and probable that Art City Days was the city and civic leaders deciding, we'll take on this kind of event and put it on for the entire community. Okay, Ashley asked, why do we have repeat food places, but all the good ones go to SF? We'll answer that by saying it's a multitude of factors, and Josh explained some of those a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I asked him the question of, do we get to choose as a city what goes in, what businesses come in, and this is what he had to say.
In general, we do say that, you know, in the downtown area, certain types of businesses like restaurants or accommodation or general retail is permitted. But we don't drill down to the level to say, hey, we'd really like to have this chicken restaurant and we're only going to let that one in. We don't want that store and so we're going to keep it out. As long as uses fit within the general categories we've established in our land use, like general retail or office warehouse type of uses, then they're permitted to locate in the zones designated in that table.
That's great. And I feel like I should mention that there are a lot of great businesses here in Springville, including a lot of unique and new ones. We were talking a few episodes ago about how it wasn't long ago that basically no businesses existed on the west side of Main Street on 4th South, and now there are so many and room for many more to come in, and we're excited about that. Okay, Leslie asked, how do you listen to the podcast? And you can probably understand the irony of me answering that question on the podcast, so I will reach out to Leslie personally and let her know. Miguel asked an interesting question. He asked, I'd like to know if there are any ghost stories from Springville. Well, maybe on an upcoming episode around Halloween or something, we can gather around a fire and I'll put a flashlight under my chin and tell you some of the ghost stories. There are some, and I'll give you a hint. Some of them involve the art museum, and that's probably all I'll say now and leave it at that. Okay, the next story comes from Vaughn, who asked, where does the name Springville come from? So maybe some of you are aware that this area, when it was originally settled, was referred to as Hobble Creek, and that's why the Hobble Creek moniker exists for the canyon and the golf course and a lot of businesses and other things. And when Brigham Young ordered settlers to come here and to build a fort, they were referring to the area as Hobble Creek, but they called the fort Fort Springville. And the name Springville came from the natural springs that we have in the canyon and kind of on the northeast side of town as well. That's where Springville comes from. And when the city had its charter in 1853, it adopted the name Springville and stopped calling itself Hobble Creek. Okay, finally, Tennyson asked, how come no matter what color the soap is, the lather is always white? Great question, Tennyson. So the answer has to do with the scattering of light. So as the soap is dissolved into an ultra-thin layer from water, then light hitting a bunch of surfaces from the little bubbles makes it appear white. It's the same thing that happens with clouds in the sky. They appear white because the direct light from the sun comes in, hits water droplets, and scatters in a bunch of directions, making clouds appear white. Okay, for an Art City update, just a few items today. The first is that the Recreation Department's Movies in the Park program continues on July 12th and July 19th. Those two movies will be The Sandlot and Raya and the Last Dragon. The movies are on Monday nights at Spring Acres Arts Park. Bring a blanket, some food, your family, some chairs, and enjoy those. It's farmers market season, so on Monday evenings at the Civic Center starting at 5 o'clock, we will have farmers markets just right here in front of the building. It will be awesome this year as a lot of vendors are returning from last year and some additional ones have been added as well. Those end at 9 p.m. until it gets a little colder and darker, and then they'll go till 8 p.m. But for the near future, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday evenings. And finally, with elections coming up later this year, we'll remind you of the dates August 10th through the 17th. That's the candidacy filing period. If you're thinking about city council or mayor, there will be three city council positions up for election as well as the mayor's position. August 10th through 17th is the period to file. Okay, that does it for this episode of the Art Cityscape. I told you it would be short and sweet this week, but hopefully we were able to give satisfactory answers to a bunch of your questions. Thanks so much for submitting those. Also, a big hat tip to those that helped with this podcast, including Lee Taylor. Thanks for his extensive knowledge of Springville history and his willingness to share it. Thanks to Josh Yost, who we played a couple of clips from. Thanks to Jake Harward, who answered a question for us. And finally, Rita Wright, who talked to me briefly about the ghosts at the Springville Museum of Art. I'm Jack Urquhart. This has been the Art Cityscape. Until next time, have a great week.